On today's episode of Watch Time, we'll be talking with Adam Correo from Glass Pixel Creative. We'll be discussing common website misconceptions and how you can fix them right after this. Welcome back to Watch Time, everyone. We're here again with Adam Correo from Glass Pixel, our resident website expert.
Good to be back.
Yeah, thank you. And today we're going to be talking a little bit about website misconceptions. So taking what we learned in the last episode where you kind of laid out the basics of starting a site, now going into some misconceptions that people have and why this is important to, I guess, the person that's going to be building the site would be that they want to make sure they don't make these mistakes and overlook these things, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so why don't we jump into, I know the first one we have here, you and I were talking about was spacing, so why don't you tell us a little bit about spacing and why this is a misconception?
Yeah, well, when a lot of people build their websites who aren't web developers or designers, which is totally fine, it happens all the time, you don't think about the simple design elements, and spacing is a big one that I notice a lot. So for me, I'm very particular about, you know, styling and spacing being consistent, and I'll notice that there's a lot of spacing. Let's say you have a box, an image box on your website, and you might have 50 pixels of spacing above it, but then below it, you might have 100. And it just, it looks off and it looks unprofessional. So spacing is a very small detail that might be overlooked, but it's something that really helps you to make the website more cohesive in terms of style. So just keep an eye on your spacing, make sure things are evenly spaced out, and things will look way more professional than they were if they weren't already.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's, I mean, I think that's a good rule of thumb, probably even beyond website, like with any design. I think people don't often think about that. And I mean, we see it when, you know, people will try and DIY graphics and give them to us and the spacing's all off, you know, and I don't think you realize how disturbing that is until you're like sitting there looking at it.
Yeah. And from a website developer standpoint, I notice everything. So they'll send it right away and right away I'm like, okay, I can see where, you know, where this, the spacing's wrong. So,
well, and for anybody that's watching or listening, if you're like a little confused on spacing, great book that I know like my wife has read and recommended. I know Josh, who's been on here, has the book. It's the Non-Designer's Design Book by Robin Williams. It's worth going on Amazon or eBay, picking it up used and looking at that. There's a whole section on spacing, and it'll be great not only for your website, but even for your graphics or anything like that. And even to be aware of it if you hire a designer, because I feel like there's so many designers out there, people that are trying to get into it that may not be aware of spacing like they should be. And I feel like it's a better educated consumer. You could say, hey, this needs to look more professional.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's talk a little bit about styling. So how does styling play into this whole thing? Like, why is this a misconception, and what does that mean for a website?
Yeah, so the styling is really the overarching standpoint over, you know, like spacing. Spacing is just a small piece of that. For the styling, consistency is key with the website. So starting with fonts, you know, you'll want a font for your header, then, you know, a different font most likely for your body, and you'll want to stick with those fonts. Not only the font, but also the sizing. So if you have, you know, a certain heading size on your website and you use that heading size around other pages, you want to keep the same style, the same font size, and same for your body font. What I'll see, you know, some non-developers doing is they'll use different, maybe 4 to 5 plus different fonts around the website, different colors, different sizes, and that just adds to things not looking professional. So really from, you know, the fonts to your colors to the spacing, to how things are laid out on your website, having a consistent layout between pages is also important as well. So really what it comes to with styling is being consistent. Consistent is key, and you'll notice that, again, some non-designers won't make things consistent, and it just adds to the website looking a little bit less professional than it should be. So, you know, be sure to keep it consistent.
Well, I guess I think the standpoint I look at there is you don't want to, like, build a website or have someone build a website for you, and then, like, you're on your homepage, you click to go to another page, and you think you're on a different website.
Yep. And I've seen that before.
That's going to just be all kinds of confusing, especially if you're somebody who likes to have multiple tabs left open. That would be me. Then you might go back later being like, what's that? You're used to seeing the header and you're trying to go back to that design and you can't find it. And then now you might even forget the domain name. And then once again, missed opportunity for business.
Yep, exactly.
So, spacing, styling, two very common misconceptions geared around design, very important principles, website design, graphic design. Let's talk about the buzzword that everybody knows. Whenever I need to sound smart, like I know about websites, we talk about SEO. SEO. So what is SEO? Why is this a misconception? Maybe this is its own episode, but we're going to try and simplify it right here.
Yes, SEO, also known as search engine optimization, is definitely its own episode. In this case, you know, I'll just kind of go over what we usually do on our websites to make sure it's optimized just from a base standpoint. Mm-hmm. So what's important is that when someone's Googling your company, not only, of course, you want to rank higher, but you want to have the right relevant information show up. Mm-hmm. So you'll notice that when you're Googling anything, you'll see all the results pop up. You'll see the title, a page title, and then also a small description show up. You can dictate what the title and what that description is going to be, and that's called the meta text, the meta title and the meta text as well, like I just said, meta description. So you can go, if you use the right SEO plugin, in terms we're talking about WordPress, if you're on Squarespace or Wix, you can go to the page settings and then dictate what you want the meta information to be there. Mm-hmm. But you can change that. And so it's important. So what we usually do when we optimize a website, we'll go through the meta title and descriptions, and we'll make sure that we have the right keywords in there and that it's relevant to your page and to your website. Mm-hmm. But also we'll edit the alt text, which is what you'll see in images. So the alt text, if you ever notice, if you haven't done it before, go to a website and just hover over an image and you'll see a little pop-up appear right by your mouse and your cursor, and it'll tell you what the image is about. Mm-hmm. So that helps Google to understand the images on your website. It helps readers to know what an image might be, and also for ADA compatibility, it also helps to, if someone might have a disability and they're using a tool to read your website, it'll tell them what the picture is and what the image is.
So I think that's important because, you know, I think a lot of people forget about that, in my opinion, that meta text and like that image description, because like I've hovered over images before and like say it's like an image, you're on like a website, like say it's a video production website and they have like an image of like their team and you hover over it and it just says like, I've seen it where it just says like team, like version number two, like and then the date, and you're just like, what, I feel like it's a missed opportunity. Like you could have like had something there that explained the image and been SEO ready.
Yeah, and that's a big part of it. And in addition to that, even going down to the file names of the images. So before you even upload the file to your website, make sure that the name of the file is relevant too before you upload it.
Okay, so that's great advice. Definitely like the text. I think if I imagine like if people aren't messing with that, it might just be default text, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And it basically just pulls what Google thinks is the first piece of text on that page. And sometimes I've seen it just be totally incoherent. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I've seen it's shown code from a website builder that we were using from a page builder instead of actual text, because that's just what it read first. So you definitely want to make sure that you do edit your meta title and your meta descriptions.
Yeah, so big advice there. SEO, probably easy SEO switches you could be making or having your website designer make just to make yourself rank a little bit better. You don't want somebody to search your company name, it pops up your company name, and underneath it says "Hello World."
Yep, you don't want that.
That's not good. So, so that's right there. Great advice on SEO. Now, this next thing, I know that you and I have talked about this before many times, and I feel like this is something that a lot of people don't think about, especially if they're building their own site, they're on their desktop. Let's talk about mobile responsiveness. Like, this is a misconception. Why is it? What's the big deal with this?
Yeah, so making your site mobile responsive is very important because now, I mean, everybody has a smartphone. Everybody's on their phone most of the time looking at your website, and that's the majority of it. So you want to make sure that your website is able to be viewed on mobile as you want it to be. What a lot of people will do, and those without, you know, the experience, is they'll build a website. But they'll build it for desktop. They might be using a page builder, you know, whether it's Wix, Squarespace, WordPress, and they'll build, you know, let's say they're building out the homepage and they'll get it done and think, okay, you know, this looks good. We're good to go. Let's launch it. But what they don't realize is there's usually now the mobile section that you can go to, or the tablet section, or depending on the platform, you can make it fully responsive. And so people will just think, okay, I got the desktop version down. It's done and we're going to launch. But that doesn't mean that your site's mobile responsive. Mm-hmm. So you'll still need to make sure that you go to the mobile view of the site in the page builder and, you know, make sure all the elements look how they're supposed to be. They're not going off of the screen. They're not too big. They're not too small. And again, you just want to make sure that your website is fully responsive, not only just mobile, but also tablet too.
Well, and I mean, think about it from the perspective of, you know, for everyone that's watching or listening, you don't want to lose business. And if, say, 60% of your visitors are, you know, mobile visitors, and mm-hmm. then you're not giving them a good mobile experience. I mean, I've had it where I've opened it up and somebody didn't have a mobile site, and then you had to view their large desktop site on this tiny little phone. And I literally just, I'm like, back, I'll just find somebody else. I'll find somebody who did take the time. Mm-hmm. So don't want to miss out on that. So going from that, talking about mobile responsiveness, and this kind of ties in nicely talking about building the website. Let's talk about speed. You said speed is a common misconception. What's the misconception with it? What do they need to know?
Yeah, so speed, just like SEO, is a whole big, deeper conversation. Just like SEO, you know, we'll touch on, you know, the tip of the iceberg here. Mm-hmm. But from someone who doesn't have too much experience, the first step would be where you're hosting your website. So some places like Wix or Squarespace, you don't really have a choice. You're going to host with them. Mm-hmm. But if you have a WordPress website, you can choose where your website host is going to be. And you can even move between hosts if you choose to do mm-hmm. some in the future. I like SiteGround. They're a very good hosting platform. That's who mm-hmm. we use for all of our WordPress clients. I've noticed moving from other platforms right over to there, just an increase in speed. So having the right server, the right hosting who's built, you know, specifically for WordPress or for the platform you're using, that's going to help from a technical standpoint there. Mm-hmm. The second tip would be media. You know, as I said before, media files are the number one reason typically why websites are slower. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just over-encompassing that is just the size of your website. So having more pages than you need, having a ton of files that you don't need, you know, you don't want all that. Eliminate the clutter where you can. Mm-hmm. Going back to the media, videos are a big thing. Mm-hmm. So if you have videos on your website, you want to make sure that they're, if you can't host them on a third-party service like YouTube or Vimeo, which is what we recommend doing, mm-hmm. and then embedding the videos, if you can't do that, try and compress the videos down as much as you can so they're as small as they can be while retaining their quality. And try not to have too many on the website mm-hmm. because just having the media files, those are the largest files that are typically going to be on your website. Mm-hmm. So make sure your videos are compressed. If you can, host them on a third-party service. And then down to your images, make sure those are compressed as well. What happens, especially with stock images, I'll go online to where I can get stock images from and mm-hmm. a source, and I'll download them, and they'll be like 20 megabytes for an image, which is just way too big. And mm-hmm. so what people might do, and they might not realize it's that big, they'll download it and just put it right on their website. What you want to do is you want to compress it. You know, mm-hmm. you can find a free tool online. I have Photoshop, so I just use that. Mm-hmm. You want to compress it, and then back to the SEO, you'll want to make sure the file name is relevant to the image. Mm-hmm. And then once you upload it, of course, make sure the alt text is correct. But for speed, make sure the image is compressed. Compress your media as much as you can.
Do you have a recommended size for a photo? Like, what would you recommend it be around?
It really depends. I can't say specifically okay. because it just depends on the website, on the page, on the box, you know, it's going to be in. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you have, what I can say is this, if the box that the web, that the image is going to be in on the website is 500 pixels by 500 pixels and the image itself is 2000 pixels by 2000 pixels, mm-hmm. scale it down, make okay. that 500 by 500. You want that to either fit or be as close as you can to the box that it's going to be in. Again, it's going to help your load time, and there's a lot of images on websites. So the more images you have, the more opportunity you have to slow down your website mm-hmm. if you're not doing it the right way.
And remember too, guys, if you're downloading stock footage or stock photos from a site, they're going to be bigger because oftentimes they're going to give you the highest resolution possible because you might mm-hmm. be using it for print. And so you need it to be bigger. But in the case yeah. of web can be smaller than print. You don't need to have that resolution. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about kind of continuing with the speed? Why is speed so important? Because I know we talked about like the importance of getting that speed to like be faster, low time, but like what does that affect if your website is too slow?
I mean, SEO, your search rank, that's a big thing. Google see that they run their own diagnostics on the websites that they crawl. And so they'll see if a website takes too long to load, they won't rank it as high because it's going to be a poor user experience for the visitor. So, you know, SEO is a big reason. Then also just, you know, think about it as yourself. If you're going to a website, if you're out there and you're just waiting and waiting, you know, waiting for it to load, mm-hmm. you're eventually going to leave because it takes too long. Even if it takes a few seconds, which is too long. Mm-hmm. You have to multiply that every time you click on a new page, and it's going to take long, and it's just your whole experience is just going to be poor. So you definitely want your website to be as quick as you can.
And I'm sure everyone's experienced that. I know I just did yesterday trying to order food. It wasn't loading fast enough, and I was like, do we really want to eat here? Yeah. So, okay, I have two more things that I know we didn't have these on here, but I have two misconceptions that I want you to touch on because as we were talking, I thought about this. First misconception is, can you talk a little bit about websites in terms of like platforms? Like, you know, they're not all created equally. Somebody might say, I need to get a hosting and I need to get a website, and they might just go right to Squarespace, or they might go to WordPress, or they might go to Wix or something like that. Can you just talk a little bit, like, what's the main differences between having a Squarespace site versus a WordPress site and so on?
Yeah, I think your needs really come down to it. WordPress, I like and I recommend because your possibilities are limitless for the most part. You can do virtually anything you need with a website with what are called plugins, which add functionality to the website. So, you know, we've, again, built sites that were simple one-page websites to, you know, huge e-commerce sites or membership websites, and having the ability, depending on your needs, to really scale that up and add all this functionality, you know, WordPress is good for that. Mm-hmm. Squarespace, you know, might be good because it's connected to Square. So you can have your, you know, if you're doing like a POS system and you want to have a website that's connected to that, you know, that would be good for that reason. Mm-hmm. And then Wix, you know, they're good because it's an easy drag and drop builder. So that's good for someone who might not have too much experience. So, you know, there's of course many more website platforms out there. Mm-hmm. The ones that I went over have other benefits and, you know, disadvantages as well. Mm-hmm. But it really just comes down to, you know, what you're looking for and what your needs are. So that's why, like you said, it's important to do your research and not just jump right into a platform.
Yeah. So everyone watching and listening, that's just something to think about. Like, you know, just when you go ahead and you'll get a website, you might search and then go to Squarespace and sign up. Like, look around, mm-hmm. see what there is, watch a couple videos, get some insight, call someone like Adam, ask him, mm-hmm. and then this way it gives you a little more, you know, flexibility so you're not held into something that maybe you didn't need.
Right.
So my last website misconception that I wanted to touch on, and I know something you and I have talked about, and I think that this is important for people that maybe want to have their own site. Maybe they hire someone like you to design a site. So this is more on the WordPress side.
Okay.
So maybe they hire someone like you to design a site, and then all of a sudden they go, okay, well, my website's done. It's been built. I'm out. Like, it's over. But can we talk a little bit about maintenance? Because I do think that's something that people don't think about, and I want you to, if you can, touch on the importance of like a monthly maintenance plan and why that's needed.
Yeah, well, maintenance, not all platforms will need maintenance. WordPress is one that definitely does. It's a great platform, but you do need to maintain it. So just specifically talking about WordPress, the biggest thing with maintenance with them is that they have updates that happen every so often. So updates to the WordPress core, to the theme, which is like the backbone of your website, and the plugins, which add the functionality to your website. The developers who made those are always pushing out new updates. A big reason is for security purposes, but also they might make the code and the plugin more lightweight. Mm-hmm. They might have new features on it. So they push out these updates. And what you want to do is you want to update everything as soon as you can. The reason being is going to security reasons. They'll have patch notes on their website. So if I have a plugin, if I have an e-commerce plugin, and let's say I saw a security bug and I wanted to fix it. Mm-hmm. So I push out a new update. I'm going to have these release notes saying this is exactly what we changed mm-hmm. on the plugin. And if it's a popular plugin that a lot of websites use, there might be hackers out there who will create a bot and a script to try and exploit that security vulnerability because they know exactly what was fixed. Mm-hmm. So what they'll do is they'll just crawl the internet looking for these WordPress websites using that plugin that isn't up to date mm-hmm. because they know it has this bug in it. And that might be a way for them to get in and, you know, hack your website. And typically, you know, it's going to be smaller websites that aren't up to date that people want to hack and try and demand, you know, money, you know, to be able to fix mm-hmm. and release back to you. So that's the big thing. These updates are huge. They're important. I don't want to make them sound too scary because they're very easy to do. But you do need to make sure that you do maintain your website and you do update everything, you know, as soon as they come.
Yeah, and I think that's important. Like, is that kind of like when you hear people say, like, oh, they found a back door into the site. That's the back door.
Exactly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So that's something to think about. Like, yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's something that if you're watching, you're listening, you're like, I'll just go and do my own maintenance. But, you know, as a small business owner, even as a marketing team, a small marketing team, you don't always have time to do that. Mm. I know people such as yourself offer maintenance plans to make it a little more affordable. You maintain it. It's a peace of mind. So that's something that's out there. It's an option.
Yep, definitely.
Okay, yeah. So there you go. So those are some common misconceptions. Adam, you know, just in case people didn't see you on the last episode, I highly recommend you go check it out if you want to be building a website, just to get some more insight. But can you just share with us, you know, how they can get a hold of you if they want to talk with you?
Yeah, so you can find my company, GlassPixel Creative, at glasspixelcreative.com. My email will be adam@glasspixelcreative.com. And, you know, like I said in the last episode, I'm just happy to help. So any questions you have, even if, you know, you're not looking, you know, to hire anyone, if you're just curious about something, you know, let me know. I'm happy to help.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us on this episode, and I hope you guys got a lot of value, and we'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See ya. Thank you, Bill.
Thanks for listening to Watch Time. We hope you guys enjoyed today's episode.
And remember to like and subscribe so you don't miss future episodes.
And if you want your question answered on our podcast, go to flexmediacle.com/watchtime.